the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, Dave looks into what the Bible teaches about the glory of God. The main reading is John chapter 17.
Weeks ago, we looked at on Sunday, what does the Lord want of us? Why are we here? What are we to do? And we can, again, if we don't understand that, we will have to fill our lives with something or with somebody, and that would be a very poor substitute in what we should be doing. To know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, and ultimately to glorify, to magnify, to extol Him, to praise Him, to honor Him through our lives. Westminster Catechism, we read it before, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It is not, when the glory, the world wants the glory to be put on people, on man. The church has gone down that route as well, of course, don't we? We follow personalities and that's always a dangerous place. I've just listening again to someone who a few years ago now, ran a big church, you know, successful, good church, but again, drifted off. Obviously, things in his life weren't right, probably wasn't challenged on them, and again, it brings just the whole thing down. It was, what's his name, it was a very good, he said, if you look into the spotlight too long, you become blind. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's a really good, that's a good quote. You look at the spotlight, and of course, ultimately, it is all Him, and that's why being close to the Lord always, again, is the place to be. Because Paul, at the end of his life, what did he say? I'm the chief of sinners. After all that he'd done for the Lord, I'm the chief of sinners, because he knew without the Lord, he could do nothing. Here's our first verse to understand that God's glory He will not share with another. We cannot, because we are fallen humans. And that's what Satan's fall was, because he thought he could be God. And of course, why man and woman fell, humankind fell, is because the lie, you can be a God. You can run your own thing. You can do your own thing. Psalm 115, 1-3.
Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him.
Not unto us. Love the psalmist, isn't it? Not unto, Lord, when we see, remember your faithfulness and your mercy, how can the glory go to anyone else but to you? But of course, we the devil would lie and whisper. And of course, that is our real complaint. That's our main issue of problems. Romans 1 tells us this. Romans 1, 18-23.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things.
Very clear, isn't it? We can see God's glory is clear. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork there. And it goes on to say, there is nowhere on the planet, on earth, that men can't see, isn't it? You can be out in the middle of Africa and look up and think, oh, look at that. Look how magnificent that is. How wonderful that is. Not even knowing the vastness of space, He said to Abraham, look up. He understood that that was a long way away, and it was magnificent, not knowing full, you know, the astronomy of it all. No, we know. We are without excuse. These days, as we progress and we advance, we know DNA, we know the cell. You know, no one can say God is not awesome. Yet, the problem is not that, because the Bible says that although they knew, they did not thank him or glorify him. Yet they made a god of their own making, of the created things instead of the creator. Because when we got a creator, then we are answerable. Mm. Then we are accountable. Then God says, dear, this is not how you're supposed to live. Ultimately, it's his glory. And when we don't glorify him, we glorify anything and everyone else. And that's not what we are here for. Ultimately, what Jesus came to do was bring the glory of God and show it. He said, didn't he? Lord, I've shown you glory. I've shown your glory, just a minuscule amount. And when the glory burst through on the Mount of Transfiguration, they said, what on earth? And they were on their faces. And that's why the lovely, great prayer of Moses, Lord, show me your glory. Now, Moses knew God, didn't he? Moses talked mouth to mouth with God. But he said, Lord, I want to see more. I want to see your glory. It's a great prayer. And the Lord says, well, wait a minute now. He said, you can't see the full glory because you'll be consumed. But I'll go past, and you'll see the back end of me, if you like. You know, that's his word, way of saying you can't see my full glory. But oh, when we see the glory of God, we are caught up with nothing else. We Isaiah, already a prophet, had an encounter in the temple. When he saw, he was overwhelmed by the glory of God. Now, when Jesus came, and when the Holy Spirit comes, his ministry is always to magnify the Lord. John 16.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take you from what is mine and make it known to you.
So you can always tell what is of the Holy Spirit and what's not, because the Holy Spirit will always magnify Jesus. Mm-hmm. If man is magnified, be very careful. Be careful. Because Jesus, he always magnifies Jesus. That's his job, is to reveal Jesus to us, and to put more knowledge of him and revelation. So he's going to take from what is mine and show. That's why we are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives the gifts, of course, gifts the Father, gives the Son, the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit is in us, and he gifts us, and he glorifies, he magnifies, he elevates, and puts the spotlight on Jesus. So when people are thinking about the Lord, when people are looking for the Lord, we know the Holy Spirit's at work. So that's his work, to point people, and to, when people have got their eyes are here, and got their eyes there, and easily drifting off on, and even things that are, that we get interested in, there. Some things we get interested in, isn't it? Be very careful, because the devil doesn't mind us drifting off. Our eyes on him, knowing him, loving him. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go with our dad down to the, always a second coming, in a second coming, listen, he used to preach on it a lot years ago, didn't he? And there's nothing wrong with that, we've got to be ready and ready. But again, be careful, because ultimately it can be sidetracked from knowing him. Ultimately, we want to know him, don't we? And to see him glorified. So, glorifying God in every area of our lives. First of all, our praise, our words, our lips, which really, we know full well, that's what lets us down before anything else, isn't it? Before anyone else sees our lives, they hear our words. And we're in trouble straight away. But our lips to praise him, magnify, glorify him. Psalm 63, 1-3.
O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you.
Yes. Word is glorify there. My lips will glorify you. Praise. Our lips glorify the Lord, to magnify him. And our words are, again, as you said, words of life or words of death. That's why he said, sacrifice of praise, offer praise, thanksgiving. We talked about thanksgiving the other day. Be thankful people. Philippians 2:14. Do nothing with grumbling or complaining. Get it out. Get it out. Check ourselves so often. Some of us, depending again, our personality type, some of us love mourning, don't we? Some of us can mourn for Britain. Some of us are not so. We are positive people. Some of us are not so positive. But ultimately, the Bible says, be careful. People are listening. Psalmist says, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, the glory that is due his name. He is worthy of our praise. That's why even when we don't feel like praising him, we do. Because he is, and that glorifies him. And what it does, it changes our lives, changes our thinking, releases faith in our lives, changes our, even changes, let's even go anatomical, changes the way our brain works. Does, changes our brain, way our brain thinks. Out of negative into the positive, into the thankfulness, into seeing something that God is always doing, even in the things we don't think he's doing. So our words to glorify him. John 15:5-8.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bring much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
So, how do we glorify him? Fruitfulness. Being like him. Being like Jesus. How do we be like Jesus? He tells us to rest in him, remain in him, dependent upon him, looking to him, walking as Jesus did, getting into his word, allowing the word to have its effect. If we are connected to Jesus, you will bear fruit. If you're not, you will not bear fruit. He's very clear that that's an ongoing process. There's a greater fruitfulness. Bearing fruit, more fruit, much fruit, lasting fruit, of course. And proof, there's the proof of discipleship. Fruitfulness. When people say, I believe, well done, excellent, what is the proof of that? The proof of that. And it disturbs me more and more when people are saying they love Jesus, but then they're living sometimes so contrary to God's word, you think, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, in living in sin or in other things, you're thinking, what's that about? You know, because it's quite clear. We'll read a couple of verses in a minute. So fruitfulness shows Jesus, proves, and ultimately it glorifies him, because people will say, God, you changed. Nay, perhaps they haven't said you've changed. And maybe that's the problem sometimes. You've changed. What an opening. Well, you say, well, it wasn't me. Spirit of God within us. Matthew 5:13-16.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
See? Glorify. Who are they going to glorify? Him. Because of what God is doing. You are the salt. We looked at the salt before, and we are the light. To change the environment, to change the context. And the power we'll look at in a moment, about how we change. So often we get skewed up. Wherever we are for Jesus. In work, that is our ministry. That we are to be salt and light there. We can do much, much wonderful work in that environment, because people are with us longer than our family, aren't they? If you work a full day, they see you. They see you in your good times. They see you when the pressure's on. They see you when you woke up late and got in late, or something's happened. They see every part of your life, and they are looking for the difference. They are looking for the change. Salt and light. And they'll say, look at the good deeds they're doing, knowing full well where you're coming from, what's happening, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Our good deeds to glorify him, not ourselves. He said, be careful you don't know your right hand, don't know what your left hand's doing. All for him. And quiet about it. We've seen that worked out in our lives, and thankfully in our parents. They did things that didn't shout about it, but later on you thought, oh, and someone had said, oh, this is what they did. Even when they died, people saying things about mum and dad, oh, they did this. Didn't know anything about it, but came out after. Why? Because it's quiet. Just do, shine, and be for the Lord. But the Lord is in the business of obviously fruitfulness, growing, ever growing, more like him, glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
So there's two things going on. The Spirit of the Lord is doing the work. But what are we doing? See, there's that combination. There's that cooperation. The Lord has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He said he's implanted in us, but you work it out. So how do we allow the Spirit of God to change us from glory into glory? Ever looking, ever gazing on the glory of God. Looking at him, looking at his work, looking at his ways, looking at his word. As we gaze, the Spirit of God can have something to use then in our lives to change us from glory to glory. There's an ever, ever ongoing work in our lives. And we've got to be careful when the Lord is there. Of course, we said we are created for his glory. Isaiah 43 verse 7 is a good verse there. Created for his life, created for his glory, my glory. And when the glory of the Lord came in the temple, remember that time? They couldn't minister. They had to get out of the temple because the glory of the Lord filled the Holy of Holies. And they couldn't minister because the Lord turned up. But that sad state when Ezekiel is having that vision, and the Bible says the glory of the Lord leaves the temple. And why? Because the priests and the prophets, although gave lip service behind closed doors, what did they say? They had idols. Idols in their heart, and they were worshipping idols. And the Bible says the glory, and that's it. And I can feel Ezekiel crying, God, no, not the glory of the Lord leaving. Not your presence leaving. Sad thing about it is that the temple service and religion can go on without the glory of the Lord. It can go on, as we see in the New Testament. Churches can go on without the presence of God. And that's our... We're very, very careful. Help us, Lord, not to carry on. How about this in the church? We're to glorify him. Romans 15.
Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that he may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, he's talking about unity. One accord, one mind. That's why the Bible says it in the book of Acts. One mind, one accord. 11 times, 10 times in the book of Acts, when God was moving in the church, moving through the church. That glorifies the Lord. There's nothing worse than schism and church breaking up that doesn't glorify God. Look, I've been in church all my life, I've seen it. And some of the absolute drivel and pettiness that churches are broken up over is frightening. It's frightening. You wonder then what experience they had the Lord, if they are the Lord's at all, or if they've ever grown in the Lord. That's why persecution is very interesting, because persecution actually brings people together. And the things that are not that important, they're not important. The most important thing is the Lord, knowing him, showing him, loving him, serving him. trivial things, and when we are comfortable, we our eyes come off the Lord and we look at, not sure, but don't like that. Don't like him, don't like her, don't like the way they did that, don't like the way they looked at me, don't like the way they said to me. Yes. Glory, my word. And then they don't like the carpet colour. Yeah, seriously, they don't like how the seats were arranged in church. You're thinking, Mamma mia, where are we to? You know, that's happened down through. I remember one church, he wanted to move the piano. Can't move the piano. No, it's a big hurrah over the piano moving. Although I remember one story, the minister wanted to move the piano across the the minister wanted to move it, and they said no. And it got so bad, he left the church to another church. He came back a few years later, and the piano was where he wanted it to be. And he thought, well. So he said to the minister, how did you get that piano across there? He said, 1 inch at a time. 1 inch at a time. And that's true sometimes, you know. Sometimes we got to be careful. But he said, just a little bit, you know. Because some people, we just don't like, we don't like change, do we? But ultimately, as Christians, we're all about change. Because you can't be the same as you were before. We're always changing, always changing. Now, change for change's sake, we've got to be careful there. Jackie, I always got to tell Jackie, she's always trying to change things. I don't like it when she's on holidays, because I came in and the table's moved, some things changed, the colour of the walls changed. What's happened here? Although she's been very busy this summer, so we haven't done a lot. Keep her busy, see? Keep her busy, so you can't. Everything's changed for change's sake. Now, I don't like change, to be honest. I like it just to...
So, Dandy
went
in the kitchen and seen the fridge gone.
Where's the fridge gone?
They don't like the fridge in here at all. Yeah. There'll be nowhere.
But unity brings, glorifies God, isn't it? Glorifies God. And why? Because the Holy Spirit is amongst us. He's moving, he's breathing out. God gives unity, but we have to keep it. We've got to keep it. God gives, but we keep. But that glorifies him. Why? Because the Bible says, how will they know? They will know by your love for one another that you are my disciples. So there's the glorify. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20.
The sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. He who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's.
Our bodies, and of course the context there is immorality. And it's amazing how they are seeing now that you can live as you like, you can sleep around as you like, but the consequences are very clear. This particular consequence is in the physical body. STDs through the roof. Now they try, and of course then they got strained, they can't treat. I'm just reading the news today. AI has tried to produce another antibiotic that can kill, or that can deal with new strains of gonorrhea. See, you can ignore God's word, but the consequences will come. And he says, look, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So take this body and look after it. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that not just context of sexual immorality, everything. Watch, look after it. Exercise a bit, isn't it? Yeah, fast. Yeah, all these things, good for the body. Good for the body. And why? Because the Bible says you're glorifying God in the body, and to do what he says. And again, that, Ken, just listening to some Christians, well, they're Christians, and not applying God's word in this area. Living in sin, marrying non-Christians, you're thinking, what are you doing? It's just unbelievable. And then obviously then you've got the further end of the Archbishop of Wales now. Ah, Father, and that's real, you know, that's... You wonder what can happen, you know. It just could be the end, in a sense. Obviously, the Lord is merciful, and you just pray, Lord, deal with it, deal with it. But that's where it is. We ignore God, but everything, because we are not our own, we have to glorify God in heaven. Romans 12 tells us that, didn't he? He talked about salvation. Because we are saved, what you to do? Living sacrifices, living sacrifices. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11.
The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over multitudes of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God, graces its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, so you are a design of God. Every gift, every talent, everything you have is God-given, God-breathed. And he says, now use that in every area of our lives, in every aspect of our lives. Our talents are to be used for him and surrendered to him and used by him. Wherever we are, in the marketplace, in our home, bless him, in the home, in the church, through the church, out into the highways and byways. And we all have different gifting and talents. And amazing how God has given us different things and how we see things differently. Some see an opportunity. I don't see anything at all. But for us to see that and to see that God can use all these things. I was listening to a testimony of a man, and he's probably in his 40s now. And for a few years, he was a worship minister, youth minister. That was fine, yeah. But he said, just the Lord just dropped something into his heart. What is he doing? Selling meat. Somehow, I don't know, missed about a connection there. But he's just taken that business and just multiplied. I think he said he's 100,000 a month or whatever, and houses, homes, you know. And he said, you know, he's been used of God in that area to witness and to testify much more than he did in church. Now, again, we've got to be in church, got to minister in church. But again, that's not where we are settled. We're out in the highways, our neighbours, you know, we are to, not to pull away, to minister into their lives. Now, be very careful, isn't it? Where we go, what we do, absolutely. The devil would love us to go down that route and end up in a real mess. But where we are, so many opportunities, we don't have to go out of our way, do we really? If we are working, we have people all around us that need Jesus. We have neighbours. We live next to neighbours. They need Jesus. So in one sense, you don't have to go out of your way and say, oh, I'm going there. No. People around us, in our families. Do you hear me? We have all got family, don't know the Lord. Ought to be like him, taking who we are. And in our workplace, well, what can we be? Ultimately, we depend, staying dependent upon the Lord, relying upon him. Integrity, absolutely vital in work. Being the best we can be doesn't mean we're the best there, but the best we can be, isn't it? Because always they're better than us, but we're the best we can be. Integrity, on time, doing your full day's work, not taking stuff that's not yours. Again, easily said, but the world filters into me. I know I do like to get up and work early because I want a cup of tea before I start. So there's a bit of a motivation there. But at the end of the day, I want to go as well. So I've got to be careful there. Taking what we... not ours. It's very, very clear, isn't it? Communicating, serving, loving, being thankful, being... I said before, I work with ladies, most majority of ladies all my life, and they're different. Very different ladies, aren't they? Much more sensitive than men. They can't have too much banter with ladies as men. Like if you go to the pit and they used to swear, well, my dad used to say, God, used to take, they absolutely rip each other apart, like in a man's environment. But ladies are different. And sometimes, I grew up with all men, apart from mum. And so that was easy to banter and say things and you think, oh dear. And I've upset many ladies all my time, I'm sad to say. But great, go and apologise. I said before, that lady said, well, no one's ever apologised to me. And that's the power of change, isn't it? Not perfection. We're aiming for it. We're going for it. But the ability to go and say, nah, I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And that's the power in our workplace. It's very amazing that Daniel, as an old man, they said, we'll find something on him. Wouldn't they? We'll find something on him. We'll find something on him in his personal life or in his business life or in his work life, in his administration. He must have taken a bribe, a backhander. And the Bible says they could find nothing on him. And that's a wonderful testimony. So they had to make something up about the Lord, about his prayer life. Which, is, again, that's amazing, isn't it? For to make something up about prayer life, we'd say, well, dear, dear. So that's the power of the glorifying God. And our aim and our purpose is not me. It's not that. It's the Bible says you glorify God with your talents. You glorify me and you're serving others. So I am nowhere near any place. And as soon as I do it for me and I, we're in trouble. We've lost. And the devil's laughing, isn't he? He's laughing. And that's easily done. Easily done. And when I think about the great men and women of God over the years, how much they love to glorify God. They like to take the spotlight off themselves. Billy Graham was one of those, wouldn't he? They would say, oh, millions are listening tonight, Billy. No, I don't think that many, said. Take the spotlight off him. That's interesting. That's interesting. I was just listening to John MacArthur there. Lots of things I don't agree with him on, I suppose. But one of the things that he did, you know, a lot of good work, you know, and they said, John, why are you? Nah, not me. He would divert the attention to the Lord. That's a mark of glorifying God, of knowing why we're here and what we're to do. That's a good mark. Nothing to do with me. It's what he's done in me and through me, what he's given me. Colossians 3, 18 to 24.
Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them.
That's what he said, didn't it?
Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Am I on the right one?
Yep.
Yeah, I am. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Very clear, isn't it? Everything we do is for him, by him, for him, to him. And he touches quite a few things there. Our home life, our work life, because when he talks about slaves, he's talking about our work life, isn't he? Every area of our lives to show God's glory, to show God's power. That's our last one. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 to 12.
Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, that was his prayer. I pray that you will walk worthy of his name. Your life, your lifestyle will honour him, be like him, so he gets the glory. Because we can't walk like him, can we? No, we can't. We are concerned about us. Someone upsets us, we're upset. And all those things, right through Matthew, right through, you know, turn the other cheek, you know, giving, praying, forgiving. All those things are unnatural to us. They need to be supernatural. And whatever we have, we need to glorify in our time, in our tithes, in our talents. Why? Because none of it is ours. It is just given to us. And the Lord will say, right. And when we get to heaven, we'll have an accounting to do, won't we? What have we done with this, Dave? What have we done? And that's a real... It just brings a little bit of sobriety to our thinking, a bit of straighten our back, didn't it? When you say, gird up your loins of your mind. we have one life. All our purpose is to glorify Him, to magnify Him in every area of our lives. And in some areas of our lives, we can. And I was talking last week in the... I didn't preach a lot because I got translated. It was always a bit... I've never done that before. But it's amazing how we can harden our heart in certain areas. In little areas of our lives. Because the Bible says... you know, if you hear God's voice, they don't harden your heart. And there's some areas where the Lord is, we can see, but other areas we're resisting because we know we've got to change. We know we don't want to change. We like that particular area of our life. We like that, maybe that habit or that even that hobby. And God says, nah, it's time to let that go. Let it go. Not that hobbies are wrong, but if they come before the Lord, they are wrong, of course, then. But to glorify God, that's what we are here to do and to be. Our raison d'etre. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.